Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Last year in Las Vegas, they raced all the way to the line.
This is the last real corner on the racetrack. Charles Leclerc's going for it to the inside. Has he got the car slowed down? What a move, Charles Leclerc! Absolutely brilliant!
On the strip, around the sphere, there were more overtaking moves than any other dry race in 2023. And now Formula One's heading back to the lights, the fountains and the high-speed streets of Las Vegas. And it could be a title decider. We're going to talk about how Max Verstappen will be approaching this race. And we'll talk about the latest flurry of F1 news. There's been a high-profile departure at Aston Martin. There's new power units for Alpine. There's a new race director at the FIA. And there's the huge news about F1's 2025 season launch. So welcome everyone to F1 Nation. It's Tom Clarkson here with Sky Sports F1 presenter Natalie Pinkham and Guido van der Garde, former F1 driver and now on TV with Viaplay, the F1 broadcaster in the Netherlands. Guys, it's great to have you on the show. Pink, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about this last triple header, I must say. And I'm equally excited about having Guido on the show. We've tried a few times to have him on the show. Guido, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. So I'm happy to be on the show as well.
Now, last year, Max Verstappen celebrated the race win in front of the Bellagio fountains. And this year, he could be celebrating a 4th world championship. The simplest way for him to do it is to win the race. If he does that, he's champion. And to keep the title fight alive, Lando Norris needs to outscore Max by at least 3 points. The gap is 62 points, and there are only 86 remaining. Now, Guido, you've known Max a long time. How impressed have you been by him this season?
Well, I mean, very impressed still. I mean, the last few years, even when he enters Formula One, I'm still looking at him like, wow, a couple of races in, he's been fighting, he's been there all the time. But still the most impressed was, I think, the last race in Interlagos. I mean, the way he drove from P17 to the win, it was outstanding. The way he drove, the way he performed. For me, he's still one of the greatest drivers I've ever seen.
And do you think this is his best season yet?
I think, yeah, it depends a little bit. On the beginning, everybody thought, okay, the first couple of races, it's going to be the same season as we had maybe last year. But then a lot of other teams catched up. Ferrari have been strong. McLaren have made a huge step. And then it started to be really interesting because you saw that Red Bull was under pressure. They were losing a little bit. And for me, we know that Max is a very strong driver. But also, I think he put the team together. And on the other hand, he's been driving for me outstanding still.
Yeah, TC, I would have to say that it is his best season yet, in my opinion, because before, things have come fairly easily to him. He has won in spite of the car this year. He's won in spite of the issues both on and off track with the team. He has stepped up when it's really mattered and delivered some incredible performances. As Guido says, Brazil was out of this world. And he just shows that he's got the tenacity and the application and the talent to deliver, even when the chips are down.
And the emotional roller coaster of Interlagos. Think about qualifying. You know, that was Sunday morning. He'd had a terrible time. And he actually said in the post-race press conference, I was trying to destroy the garage after qualifying. 4 hours later, he's extended his lead in the World Championship. He's taken perhaps the best win of his Formula One career. It kind of proves, I mean, Guido, come in on this, but I think his, I'm sort of quoting Jackie Stewart now, but mind management is so important. I feel that Max is just on top of his game in every area, but particularly how he's approaching the races from a sort of mind management point of view.
Well, I know Max very well, and Jos, of course, as well. But I know one thing, when they start to get angry, especially also with Max, he's performing better. And it, I don't know why, well, how he does it, but even though from the start already you saw he's on a mission. And that's, for me, incredible to see because, you know, he's super talented. He's super fast. We know that he's in qualifying, the races, the race pace he has, it's super nice to see. But when he gets angry, there's something else. There's the line coming out and he's performing even better. And that's quite nice to see.
And so how do you think he's going to approach Las Vegas? He can win the title. Do you think, is he going to be desperate to get it done this weekend? Or do you think he'll play the percentages?
Well, I think for him, it's nice to win the championship in Las Vegas. It's a nice city. You can have a good party there. But he approached it every weekend more or less the same. And of course, he knows he has a title to win for the fourth time. But he will go all the way, I'm sure. For me, I think he will win in Vegas.
Yeah, for me, Max is uncompromising. I think when people say, and tell me if I'm wrong, Guido, but when people say that he doesn't care what others think, I think that's wrong, actually. I think he has got more vulnerability and more of a kind of human instinct than people realise. He does care because, you know, he cares about what's been said about him in the media. But for some reason, when he gets in the car, he's able to leverage that. He's able to channel it. He's able to be completely uncompromising on the track. I think there's enough of his mum in him to care and enough of his dad in him to perform when he's angry.
Yeah, you're completely right. I think he has both characters. Once he puts the helmet on and the visor goes down, it's a lion and he goes all in and performs at his best. And when his helmet is off, he's a very humble, relaxed, good guy. Of course, I think one way he cares a little bit, but the other way he's always like very relaxed, 2 feet on the ground. He's still the same kid when he enters Formula One. He didn't change at all. And that's very, very nice to see. He's just a normal guy who likes to race and who likes to enjoy and likes to win and he likes to win championship. And yeah, for me, it's very cool to see. And especially also for the Dutch viewers, for whole Holland, you know, he's quite a hero here.
Well, just how big a hero? Describe his level of fame in the Netherlands, Guido.
Everybody talks about it in Holland. Everybody is about Max Verstappen, especially after the last race in Interlagos. Even if I go to the grocery shops, even if I'm on the streets, people are like, oh, nice race. It's amazing to see. Nice you were there. It's something special at the moment. He's a really big hero here.
He's so authentic, isn't he, Guido? I think that's the point you're making. He hasn't changed since he's come into the sport. He's the same guy as he always has been. And I think the fans really appreciate and respect that. He doesn't make any apologies for who he is. He doesn't make any excuses for what he's doing. He just says, this is who I am. This is how I race. And this is how I win races and world championships.
No, I agree fully with you.
And Guido, just put your helmet back on. You know, there's been so much talk of Max's tactics this year, particularly when it comes to track limits, racing Lando Norris. And actually, I'm only reminded of turn one in Vegas last year when he pushed Charles Leclerc wide and got a 5-second penalty then. What's your take on the way he races?
The only thing what he wants is to win races. And he goes all in, sometimes a little bit too much. We've seen maybe in Mexico, especially the second move, he went too wide, pushed Lando off. And there's been a lot of talks about it. And he said, yeah, it's been wrong. The penalty I've been given, yes, it's been right. But also on that side, he's never apologizing about anything he does. And he races hard because he wants to win. He wants to win titles. He wants to win races. And that's the way he is. And yeah, people knows it already from the beginning when he started to be in Formula One. He races hard. Everybody who's looking in his mirrors and we have Max Verstappen behind, it's like, oh, he's coming again. You know, that's also like a trademark.
And he's got the 62 wins. He's got the 40 poles. And if he wins this title, it'll be his fourth. He'll be joining Sebastian Vettel and Alain Prost. Only, what is it, Fangio, Hamilton and Schumacher have more. He always claims the stats don't matter, but he's getting to a level now where surely, surely the level of success starts to mean something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look, he's still, 27. If you look at Lewis, he's now getting 40 next year. Been a long, long time in Formula One. I'm not sure if Max will do that until his 40 being Formula One. But it's something special to win, to go for the fourth title, to have so much wins, so much pole positions. But yeah, I think he's always saying, I don't look at the statistics, but I'm sure sometimes he will look. And sometimes he's like, oh, okay, this is quite special, you know, and it is.
Well, the Drivers' Championship's been decided in Las Vegas twice before. Nelson Piquet in 1981 and Keke Rosberg in 1982. Can Max Verstappen make it three times in Vegas? And something new for this weekend's race is that there's going to be a new race director at the FIA. Niels Wittich, who's had the job since the start of 2022, is moving on to pastures new. And Rui Marquez, the race director of Formula 2 and Formula 3, is stepping up. So it's a big weekend for Rui, and we wish him well here at F1 Nation. You know how in Formula 1, every little detail counts when it comes to performance? Well, AG1 is part of my daily routine for exactly the same reason. It's my way of staying at the top of my game. One scoop every morning, and in just 60 seconds, I'm fueling up with vitamins, minerals, probiotics, prebiotics, and adaptogens. It's like a precision tune-up for my body, so I can feel my best all day. All from one easy-to-mix drink. And my wife has even started dipping into my supply as well, as have some of her workmates. Luckily, I can always hide my travel sachets in my suitcase. I love how AG1 gives me a real boost of natural, steady energy that powers me through whatever I've got going on. AG1's blend of prebiotics and probiotics keeps my digestion in top shape, even when I'm up against all of the long-haul flights that I've been on during this final leg of the race season. In fact, in a recent study, AG1 was shown to double the amount of healthy bacteria in your gut. And I can definitely feel the difference: less bloating, more comfort, and just feeling better overall. What I also love is AG1's commitment to quality. All non-GMO ingredients, zero added sugar, and everything's bioavailable, which means it's easy for my body to actually absorb the nutrients and get the gut, immune, and stress support that it needs. So start with AG1 and notice the difference for yourself. It's a great first step to investing in your health, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with them. Try AG1 and get a free bottle of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/nation. That's a $48 value for free if you go to drinkag1.com/nation. Check it out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now let's talk about the Constructors' Championship now. With three races and a sprint left, 49 points cover the top three in the standings. No one can win the Constructors' title in Vegas, but someone can, of course, make a big statement. Look, here's how it stands. McLaren lead with Ferrari second. Ferrari are searching for their first Constructors' title since 2008. McLaren seeking their first Constructors' title since 1998. That's how long it's been for McLaren. Red Bull are third, 49 points behind McLaren. They're not out of it, but they need Perez to score big. I think he scored 242 fewer points than Max so far this year. So they need Perez back on the podium in Vegas like he was last year. McLaren are in front. Do they still have the momentum?
If you ask me, yes. I think they have at the moment a really, really strong car. If you look at the races that are coming, Las Vegas, I think they will be thereabout. Qatar, I'm sure they will be the strongest because that's the car suits the track very well. And then Abu Dhabi is again, they will be there as well. So I think they are been very, very good to last few races. I think Oscar has been picked up the last race as well. Before that, he was struggling a little bit. But I think if you ask me, McLaren will win the title, but it's going to be tight because if you see, Ferrari is also strong. They have two strong drivers as well. They're always there. It's especially in Las Vegas, the coming race, I think they will be strong and fast because you saw as well there last year, they were really good as well. So if you ask me, it will be McLaren to win the Constructor Championship, but very close, and a nice battle will be together with Ferrari.
How tough is it for Lando Norris to pick himself up after what happened at Interlagos, right? He went there thinking he was going to close the gap to Max. The gap extended. It's a tough moment. What's it like for a driver in those moments?
It's hard. But on the other hand, you know, he has been there for a couple of races. He's been there a little bit up and down. For me, Lando is a super talent. I think one of the fastest drivers in the paddock. The way he drives his lines, he's super quick in qualifying. Sometimes in races, he can be a little bit better, but it's always things to improve. But for me, he's super fast. And yeah, mentally, it's been hard, I think, especially when you're starting pole position in a race in Interlagos and your competitor is in the back and he wins the race. Mentally, it's hard, but the only thing he has to do, he needs to perform upcoming racing in Las Vegas. He needs to do his best. He knows the title to win it. It's going to be tough, but come on, guys! What a season he had! What a races he had been having! Don't remember in Singapore, super fast. In Zandvoort, he's been doing an incredible job there. So yeah, I have to say I take my hat off from him, also for McLaren. So for them, I hope personally to win the Constructor Championships.
Yeah, I think it's a fairy tale story for McLaren, isn't it? With the way they've come from the back of the grid right to the front in a couple of years, it's been absolutely incredible to see. But I think their morale will be quite low inevitably after Brazil. You know, by their own high standards this season, it's been a difficult couple of races lately for them. And they need to bounce back. I know, having spoken to the Ferrari guys, that they're really looking forward to Vegas. As you say, they performed really well there last year, Charles on pole. And I think that they are expecting to perform really well there. So whoever comes out of the blocks, and it's a real statement of a 10. I mean, I know they say people don't care about the constructors. I really care. I think this is thrilling. It's great. I really hope it goes right down to the wire in Abu Dhabi.
And Guido, you say you think, you know, McLaren will be quick in Vegas. But if you look at the form book from last year, Vegas, I think, was perhaps their most difficult race. Both cars out in Q1. Lando Norris then crashes on lap 2, I think it was. Piastri gets a puncture and then ends up 10th. But it was a really hard race. Do you think it'll be different this year?
Well, yeah, I think it will be different because if you look at the last few races, McLaren had been there more or less in the top 3, top 5. And I think, it's a typical different track in Las Vegas. I agree with you. But if you look at the performance that McLaren had the last couple of races, I'm sure they must be there. And then especially when you go to Qatar, they will be super fast. It's a track that really suits them. And Las Vegas, I'm sure they will be at least top 5.
Can we talk about Las Vegas TC for a moment? Because last year, it was kind of a weird race, wasn't it? Because it was such a strange time zone and people were like, I have no idea what time of day or night it is.
And it's going to be more of the same. Although there is one change to the timetable that may help, which is that qualifying is now at 10 p.m. local time, whereas last year it was at midnight. So we might get a slightly earlier bedtime on Saturday night.
But I'm not complaining. The race was amazing, wasn't it?
It was amazing. And it is, you know, it's a really fast racetrack. There are, I think, 3 points on the lap where the cars are exceeding 300 kilometers an hour. It is a really fast street track. It sort of reminds me of Baku in many ways. And it provided a really good race, didn't it? Charles Leclerc taking second place from Sergio Perez on the last lap. So, you know, we're going to get a good race because it encourages overtaking. As we said at the top, there were more overtakes than any other dry race last year. It's spectacular. I fell in love with the sphere immediately. Can't wait to see what they're going to do with that this year. It's tell you what, it's like a week-long festival is what it feels like in Vegas. It's a festival of Formula One. And it starts at that amazing pit building that is, you know, that dominates the paddock. And then even, you know, all the casinos around it kind of, feels like a Monaco on steroids. I don't know whether you guys agree with me on that, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go racing.
Yeah, I mean, it should be on everyone's bucket list. It is wild and iconic images when they're racing down the strip. I mean, I never thought we'd see the day then when that would happen, and we have, and it's great. And they need to sort of build on that now throughout the coming years. But yeah, Vegas is, yeah, it's a crazy, surreal, but brilliant place.
Back to the Constructors' Championship briefly, Pinks. You were saying how much you're enjoying the battle at the front, but also the battle at sort of the middle and the end is amazing, right? Because, you know, Alpine got their 33-point haul in Sao Paulo last time out. So they've jumped up to sixth, but there's just 5 points covering Alpine, Haas and Vicar. It can all change so quickly. So a lot to look out for at that area of the Constructors' Championship. And I think Williams and Sauber in ninth and 10th are going to have a tough time, actually, particularly Williams. I think after all the crashes they had in Brazil, I know that the factory in Grove has been absolutely flat out making spares. I'm sure they will be okay come first practice this week. Now, speaking of the teams, I don't know if you guys have seen the news about the 2025 F1 season launch. Pinks, have you seen it?
I know. It's going to be exciting, isn't it? A great way to celebrate Formula One at the O2, all the drivers, all the cars, loads of razzmatazz. And just goes to show the pull that Formula One has, because I got a message from a mate yesterday saying they were desperate for tickets and, you know, people were scrambling around to get them just for the show alone, not even a race. You know, this is just to launch the season. And actually, I do think that 2025 is going to be an incredible season. I mean, we've seen a convergence through this year, but it will be at fever pitch come next year, just before the big regulation change in 26. And I think we're on for some epic races because there'll be so many in the fight for the win each time.
Yeah, and so this is going to be a livery launch. It's on the 18th of February at the O2 in London. You're going to see Lewis Hamilton in red, Kimi Antonelli in Mercedes black. Can we expect to see you, Guido? Are you going to be hopping across the channel?
I hope so. No, I mean, spectacular. And I have to say also big compliment to the whole Formula One family that's been growing the last few years. You see that it's getting bigger and more fans attending. The show now, what they're going to do in London, it's going to be spectacular.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Bit more news to discuss, team. Let's start at Aston Martin. Dan Fallows, their technical director, who's designed the last couple of cars for the team, he's stepped down. He's staying within the Aston Martin group, but he's making way for Adrian Newey as technical director in everything but name when Adrian arrives on the 1st of March next season. And of course, there's the former Ferrari technical director of the chassis, Enrico Cardile, is also joining the team. I'm not surprised to see Dan move on. slightly feels there's too many chiefs there on the technical side. What do you guys think?
I mean, when we heard about the huge news that Adrian Newey was coming to the team and the huge fanfare, the fact that they had a whole event based around him, which we've never known before, other than for the launch of a livery or indeed a driver, we knew how much it meant to them. So I was always intrigued by what would happen to the dynamic within the team once Adrian was announced and then there. So, you know, as you say, too many cooks spoil the broth. I'm not sure. I think the broth is currently quite spoilt and I think it needs drastic improvement quickly. And maybe Adrian needs the space to do that. And, you know, division of labour and delegation of tasks and all the rest of it. And there needs to just be one person at the helm for that, which is obviously Adrian.
Just a question from my side to you. But you guys have been a lot in Formula One and seen the races and know the team and know the people are there. But I have the feeling that they were completely lost this year.
Well, the results would suggest that, wouldn't it, Guido? Where, as was the case last year, they started strong and then they've tailed off. I think it's been a very difficult car to develop. I will be fascinated to see what Adrian can do with this current car. I know he's coming in and his main focus will be 2026. But let's not forget that Adrian Newey started life as a race engineer. He's brilliant in the garage. And I just wonder whether, just from a setup point of view, whether, you know, fresh eyes, fresh ears can give them a few ideas. I think they will make a jump in 25 before then the first Adrian car comes on stream in 26.
But Guido, it's interesting what it does, the mentality of a team to get a new leader. You have the same talent that you've always had, but something is unlocked. They need the shot in the arm of Adrian joining. Now everyone says, well, Adrian's not going to be the silver bullet. He's not going to suddenly be able to change things around in a short space of time. But I think something mentally can give. You know, you don't want to be on a downward trajectory and it just might just shift their mindsets.
I think it's a really good boost for the whole team, especially for Aston Martin to have Adrian Newey there. I mean, he's a super good guy. He's very down to earth, 2 feet on the ground. He knows what he's talking about. He's been proven already the last few years that he's one of the best in the paddock. So for Aston, it's a boost. I think, especially when he comes there, for the people who are already working there, he's like, okay, looking forward to come. And that's the way, I think, also the same for Ferrari. If you look for next year that Lewis is coming to the team, he knows Fred very well. He doesn't know the team yet, but I'm sure they have a big boost inside the whole system that a big guy like Lewis is coming to Ferrari. So I think I'm sure they will make good steps on either Aston Martin, but also Ferrari.
But I think that's the point, isn't it? It's not just changing someone at the top for the sake of change. That doesn't give the shot in the arm that we're talking about. You need someone of the quality of Lewis Hamilton or the quality of Adrian Newey. Because only look at Alpine. They've had 3 team principals in the last 18 months. And the first two didn't provide the shot that we're talking about. And maybe Ollie Oakes, who came in just before the summer break, is he what they need to give them the boost? The results would suggest as much in terms of, you know, they were back in the points in the Netherlands, the first race of sort of Ollie's tenure. And then, of course, there was the double podium.
Well, tell us, TC, you interviewed him the other day, didn't you? I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. So I went up to Enstone to speak to Ollie. He's my guest on this week's F1 Beyond the Grid. I hadn't been to Enstone for ages. And the first thing that greets you when you arrive there is a huge poster celebrating the 2-3 at Interlagos. They'd got a load of those printed off. And so you definitely felt that there was everyone had a bit of a skip in their step. And Ollie, I was incredibly impressed by. He is a racer in the truest sense. Former world karting champion back in 2005. Then started his own race team, Hi-Tech, and learned how to run a team in 10 years of doing that. Tried to get Hi-Tech into Formula One for 2026, but his bid was rejected by the FIA. So he's now running Alpine. And I was incredibly impressed. He reminded me more of Andrea Stella than Mike Crack, as in terms of his approach. Whereas Mike would be a sort of engineer, I felt that Andrea and Ollie Oakes come at it very much from a racing point of view, which I felt was a very good fit for Enstone, actually.
I know Ollie quite well. We've been racing before in go-karts. He was a little bit younger. I know the family. And for me, what he did in his career, because he's been racing himself, he knows what's happening on the track. But after that, if you go to lead a team, you need to be good with people. You need to show that you are the leader. And the way he's been growing to do that, it's incredible. I had a big chat with him in Interlagos. First of all, super nice guy, but he says also, you guys, just basic things. You learn this in Formula 2, Formula 3, the way you work and operate as a team. Of course, when you go from F2 to Formula 1, you have much more people, but just basic things. And the way he's been doing that into the team, I mean, it's incredible. And big respect for him.
If you treat people well and you let them play to the strengths, and I think that's something Andrea Stella's done really well, is he's shone the light within and he's empowered those already in their positions within McLaren to be the best version of themselves and deliver for him. And they've stepped up to the plate. And Bernie Collins and I were chatting the other day. She was talking to some people at McLaren who said they would literally move mountains for Andrea because he's believed in them. I think that's the key, isn't it? Is boosting people to deliver their very best for the team.
I think Ollie is that person. I was very impressed, but that's this week's F1 Beyond the Grid. Back to what we're discussing on F1 Nation. Actually, it's a nice segue, guys, into talking about 2026 engines for Alpine, because they've, of course, announced in the last week that they're going to be using Mercedes power unit and gearbox in 2026. Ollie was adamant that Mercedes were the way to go and not Ferrari or Honda. What do you guys think about them going Mercedes rather than any of the other existing power units?
For me, yeah, I think it's the right choice. Mercedes always have delivered. Remember from the V8 to the V6, the first couple of years, they were incredibly strong. It was a different category from my opinion. They have good people there. They know how to build an engine. They have good knowledge. So I think for Alpine, it's the right way to go with Mercedes. And I'm sure they will be there. And I'm sure on the other side as well, that they already hoped to have that engine for next year, because, you know, the Renault, the Alpine engine, they're still struggling on track. In qualifying, it's okay, but in the whole race, they have to tune the engine too much down and they lose quite a bit of performance. Because if you see that chassis, it's a strong car in the corners, but on the straight line, you see all the time that they lose a bit too much. So I think it's a big boost for the team that they change the engines to 2026.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that McLaren have made the very clear and powerful point that you can win as a customer team. I mean, you would think being a customer team would put you at a disadvantage, but they've proved otherwise. So why not save a load of money and take the Mercedes engine and see if you can focus on the chassis and delivering as you know you can.
It is saving a load of money. It's about €100 million swing between developing your own engines and being a customer. Because, of course, the FIA set a price cap on what the power units cost at €17 million, whereas it's more than €100 million to develop your own, which is what Renault have been doing at their Viry Châtillon base. I mean, actually, Guido, just a word on Viry. Of course, you had Renault engines in the back of the Caterham back in 2013. Did you go to Viry?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been there. It's incredible. On that time, I have to say, I think it was a really strong engines. I mean, they have been winning there with the Red Bull. The Caterham car was not so good at that time. Was struggling quite a bit with that car. But although I learned a lot from it. But yeah, I mean, if you see the factory, the people working there, it's quite a big thing. But as you say, I think I agree completely with you. They have to move on. They have to save money. They have to look at different things. So I think it's the right choice for Alpine to move to Mercedes.
While we're talking about the future, I don't know whether either of you two have seen a brilliant clip on Instagram of Mark Cavendish and Valtteri Bottas asking each other what's next repeatedly. If you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. Go to Valtteri or Mark's feed on Instagram, but it's the two of them. Of course, Mark Cavendish, of course, retired as a professional cyclist this year with his 35 stage wins in the Tour de France. But it's It made me wonder whether they're going to do something together in cycling, actually. But there you go. That's something about what's next as well.
You know, TC, that was his first tattoo.
I don't know who's
Valtteri has had what's next tattooed on his leg.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Go and have a look. And he's not faking it. You can tell it's a real tat.
Remember, Natalie, that we had this media thing in 2013, I think, in Australia, when there was like a couple of new drivers in that season, 2013, on the beach. It was, Valtteri was there as well. And if you see him there, he was, you know, not talking a lot. He was very quiet. He was very down to earth. But if you look at the last couple of years, he's been outgoing a lot with his hair, with his moustache. I think for me, he's been very, very positive also in the paddock. And it's a lovely guy, but he's much more outgoing.
I totally agree. I think leaving Mercedes and, you know, growing into his role as team leader, coming out of Lewis's shadow, getting together with Tiff Cromwell, and they've got such shared passions as well for cycling and sport generally. They they're just a brilliant couple, and some of the content they're creating and the banter is just, it's just brilliant. And you're right, a far cry from the young guy that we met on the beach back in 2013. Do you remember we were trying to play tennis, weren't we? And the wind was so, we couldn't get any kind of rally
strong,
going.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was good fun though. Nice memories.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Guido, everything seemed to happen for you in Melbourne by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a story was that. You first debuted there in 2013, then 2014, you had to wait for another year to go there again back with a contract. It was a big mess, but you know, it happened. It still hurts a little bit because on that year, especially 2015, it was a good car in the beginning. I wish I could drive there and also had a year with Max. That would have been wonderful. But, you know, things go as it goes. And I'm happy to be where I am in my life, with the kids, with my family, and to be here as well, live with you guys. So that's also nice.
Now, I feel, TC, that you're digressing somewhat, because there is one team that we haven't mentioned yet.
One that is having an absolute stinker of a season, underperforming way down the championship standings. And I am, of course, talking about the podcast F1 Fantasy Team. Joining me now, I am delighted to say, he might not be, is the F1 Nation Racing Team Principal, Tom Clarkson. Tom, what the hell is going on?
Here we go. Here we go. We've had a lot of injuries. Pinks. I'm the Erik ten Hag of F1 team principals. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, do you fear for your job then?
Well, I think I clearly do. And I think, Pinks, you would do infinitely better than me at F1 fantasy. Where are we in the league? Can you remind me?
126,838 in the league.
Yeah, that's not great, is it? How many are in the league, though? How many are in the league?
300,000 teams. Yeah.
Sorry.
So we are just in the top half.
So there's more than 300,000 in the league.
Pretty cool that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't think we're close to relegation, if that's what you're wondering.
Well, we're not, but we are 1,500 points off the leader.
Note to self, must do better. Well, in fact, in terms of doing better, what should we do? Yeah, what should we do for Vegas?
Well, we're going to take out Lewis Hamilton and bring in Charles Leclerc for Vegas. And we're going to swap Williams for Alpine.
I'm okay with that, Pink. Charles Leclerc on pole last year.
So our lineup will be Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Lawson, Colapinto, with Alpine and Haas as our constructors. Now, it might be too late. Well, it will certainly be too late for us to win with F1 Nation the actual championship. But it's never too late for you to start playing F1 Fantasy. Maybe start a team for the final three races to get some practice in ahead of next season. I certainly know one man who needs to practice. Playing is free. Go to fantasy.formula1.com and you can play and manage your team. Hopefully, well, Pinks, a bit better than Tom does.
Well, you have been team principal for Vegas, so watch this space, everybody. Will we do better? All right. Well, guys, it's been wonderful to chat to you both. As I mentioned earlier, this week's F1 Beyond the Grid is with Ollie Oakes, team principal of Alpine. You can hear that from Wednesday. And sister podcast to this, F1 Explains, has Bernie Collins answering your questions this week as well. So take a listen to those two.
That's basically my life, asking Bernie Collins questions.
She's very good at answering them.
Very
isn't
good.
So thanks to Nats. Thanks to Guido. Final one. Who's going to win Vegas?
Charles Leclerc.
Oh, I was genuinely going to say that. But hang on, Guido. You were just talking up McLaren.
Yeah, they will. No, they will be there. But if you look at street tracks, and it's a bit like, as we talked before, it's like Baku. And we know that Charles is always very strong in street track. So last year he was performing very well. This year he's going to win the race.
So you think Charles will win it, but then Max will still win the world championship?
Yeah, and there will be, I think, a very big party on Sunday night then.
Uh-oh. Watch out, Vegas.
Guido, I think you've just been influenced by our F1 fantasy chat. That's actually what I think happened there.
Maybe you're right.
I agree with you. I think Ferrari are going to be very strong, but I'm going to put my money on Carlos Sainz, actually. He was going very well last year. Remember, he had a 10-place grid penalty. Otherwise, he would have started on the front row. So watch out for Carlos. So, guys, thank you again. Thank you to you at home for listening. We will, of course, be back next Monday with our review of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. But for now, F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.